Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 3:30, and that is Pacific Standard Time. And today, we had the majority of markets pulled back in the region of about 1%. Commodity-related markets were down a bit more. Generally speaking, the Brazilian market was down 1.5%, the ASX in Australia down 2.7%. That was being led lower by BHP Billiton, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. But majority of markets down about 1%, the FTSE a little bit less. Then the Nikkei was stronger by almost 2%. So, you know, what's tying all this together? Well, I guess there's two reasons. One would be that we've had an impressive six-week rally, and the majority of markets are either back-testing, in Wall Street's case, testing its peak, or in the case of the majority of European markets, testing their respective 200-day moving averages. And that's a natural area where one would expect some, you know, a little bit of a pause and a consolidation. The good news from the perspective of an investor is that the vast majority of these indices have got a pretty significant margin where they could consolidate and still be above their respective lows. So, you know, this isn't perhaps the best time to be chasing what has been a very impressive rebound, but rather to maybe wait a while and bide one's time, because there probably will be a slightly better entry opportunity over the next couple of weeks. The other side of this coin is that the US dollar has firmed significantly, and that's particularly the case against the yen. The yen had been strengthening for much of the last few months and had firmed stronger than 120 versus the US dollar. Well, the dollar staged a three-day rally and is up to 123 and change, and that suggests that the yen's process of steadying and unwinding its oversold condition is over, and that we may be in the process of an additional process of devaluation. And that's really very good news for the Japanese stock market. So we're looking at a situation, and then if we think about what role has deliberate currency manipulation had on stock markets over the last 5 years. Well, the weakness of the dollar was certainly a tailwind for Wall Street from 2010, 11, and 12. The devaluation of the euro from approximately 140 to 105 really has and remains a significant tailwind for Eurozone equities. The weakness of the yen, where the dollar rallied from 80 to 120 and now at 123, was a massive catalyst for change, a positive change in the Japanese stock market. And then let's look at the renminbi. I just came back from China. Mrs. Tracy and I celebrated our 10th wedding anniversary, and in a decade of visits to China, you can see that costs have gone up really quite considerably. That a t-shirt that would have cost, with a bit of bargaining, about £3 10 years ago costs more like £6 today. Wages have gone up significantly, and the dynamism of the domestic economy has really increased beyond recognition. And, you know, that's at least in part due to your companies like Alibaba and Tencent and JD.com that have really started to compete, and there's an evolving online culture that mirrors that which we would be familiar with in the West. And this is an economy that's in a very swift transition, and certainly there are some that are going to be left behind, and any company that hasn't got the wherewithal to move with the times and to innovate is going to get left behind. There have been some very large changes. The relaxing of the hukou system, which allows families to reunite and for people from the countryside to bring their offspring up to the city, is a very positive piece of social cohesion. And the Communist Party definitely needs social cohesion because the number of state-owned businesses that are uncompetitive and the weakness in the economy is definitely going to need lower interest rates and a weaker currency. And the renminbi has broken the progression of lower rally highs. The dollar has broken its progression of lower rally highs against the renminbi, and it does look like that, despite the fact that the dollar, or that the renminbi has basically kept pace with the dollar for quite some time, that its appreciation is now over, and that we are going to see a weaker renminbi. And generally speaking, that should be good news for the stock market, because it's very much tied to a deliberate policy by the government. And then you have to contrast that with the kind of devaluation that has occurred in some of the countries in Latin America, or commodity-related currencies, where the devaluation of their currencies has been intentional, but it has been because of an exogenous shock, and that's lower commodity prices. The Australian dollar is down to 70 cents, and it had traded well in excess of parity versus the US dollar for for a significant period of time. The Brazilian real really does need to hold that 4 real level to the dollar to suggest that the support that it has found is anything other than temporary. And that has weighed on their respective stock markets. I saw an article today that the CEO of BHP has flown to Brazil in order to negotiate that some of their licenses aren't revoked. And the share is right down on its lows. Now, the very big question for a company like BHP, which is the only miner that is an S&P 350, a Europe 350 dividend aristocrat, is whether it's going to hold its dividend, because it's currently yielding nearly 8%. That's just the market doesn't think that the dividend is going to be sustained. But the question, I think probably a better question, is whether the dividend will be eliminated. And probably not, I think, is probably the answer. We have had a continually volatile environment in the commodity complex, and the precious metals have pulled back pretty sharply, and gold has at least stabilized in the region of 1,080 and is currently trading around 1,090. Platinum is currently trading around $915, and that's a significant unwind. That it had staged a really an impressive rally that had helped to unwind an oversold condition and developed a short-term overbought condition in the process. And this has been a really sharp pullback. The question is whether platinum is going to find support above its lows. And my father was here, and he collects coins, so he was in a coin shop this morning, and the customer next to him was buying platinum bars because he thought that platinum had gone down about as much as it was going to. And he was spending, I think, approximately $5,000 buying platinum bars. Well, that's probably not a bad instinct, because platinum prices trading this far below gold isn't something that we've seen particularly often. And there is a short-term oversold condition evident, and it is approaching an area of previous support. And in other words, when you see these overbought conditions and oversold conditions, then extrapolating the trend is seldom something that is going to be particularly profitable. When we look at the oil price, it has been really quite inert. And then contrast that with other markets, that stocks have had a sharp pullback and an impressive rebound and are now a little bit overbought in the short term. The precious metals have been really quite volatile as well, and yet oil prices have been inert. That WTI is trading around $44, and it was trading around $44 a month ago. It was trading around 40 something dollars 2 months ago. That there's about a $10 range, but considering that this is a commodity that is by far the most politicized in the world, by far the most important in terms of its economic significance, and you know, where there is this steady news flow of various conflagrations in one of the areas in the world where the majority of reserves in the ground lie, and prices have been reasonably inert. Well, that's a range, and ranges are explosions waiting to happen. So when the breakout eventually occurs, it's going to be powerful. And we're still in an environment where the oversupply in the market has not yet been unwound. And yet, because prices are low, that helps to stimulate demand. So we're in an equilibrium right now. And eventually, this range is going to be completed and we're going to get some sort of bounce. And how far that bounce goes is going to test just how quickly supply can be brought back onto the market. Oil continues to look like a reasonable replay of what happened with natural gas. Natural gas fell and has had a 50% range from bottom to top. And 50% for oil would be between about $40 and $60. 50% from 40 to 60, and that's a significant range. But it's a trader's environment rather than investor's environment. So when we look at shares like Exxon, where you had a very deep oversold condition, and then an impressive rally, and now it's completely closed the overextension relative to the 200-day moving average, well then the potential for some consolidation and some ranging increases fairly substantially. Well, this is still a taut environment, and what is perhaps the most important medium-term consideration is that what had been previously a very consistent trend is no longer consistent, and that is certainly a warning. And another consideration is that a share like Apple, which is, you know, by far the largest in the world, has lagged the run-up that we've seen in the Nasdaq particularly. And that's, then you have to ask, well, what has led the run-up? And there's been a great deal of speculation about M&A activity in the chip manufacturing sector, and Nvidia is one of those shares that has done best, but so is Intel and Texas Instruments. And in, if you look in Europe, then Infineon and ASML are also doing very well. But by and large, the types of companies that have done best are those that hadn't really made the running in the early part of the year. And what is the thing that links together companies like McDonald's and Coca-Cola, Microsoft and Intel? And it's that they have reliable dividends. And when you've had a shock and where your investment proposition has been challenged, then people tend to migrate towards security. And it is the defensive parts of the market that have done best over the last 6 weeks. And you know, that suggests that confidence is not as high as it has been. And yields on bonds have been rising. The U.S. Treasury is 30-year Treasury is currently around 152, and it's worth considering that that bond will mature at par. So, you know, it's 50% overvalued on a yield to maturity basis. So, you would have to be pretty pessimistic about the interest rate environment to think that this isn't a momentum move. That on a yield to maturity basis, this is not an attractive proposition from an investor's perspective. And that's, you know, there's still a great deal of concern about exactly what is going to happen with interest rates. And that's a question that we won't have answered until they eventually raise them. But I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.